Thank you, Barb. When Pastor Dave asked me to preach a few weeks ago, I was very excited, but I had mixed emotions, you know, with everything that goes on this time of the year. But I'm blessed to be able to be up here and as we look to God's Word together. In life, you know, there's many things that we can miss out on for many different reasons. Maybe it was a job opportunity or a chance to share your feelings to another person of how you felt about him or her, or how to live our lives, and we just miss. We miss, you know, like something we want to share with our parents, and we always dreamt of it, or perhaps a chance to work in a location or that dream job or a hobby that you've always wanted to do, to start working on, but never did. And so on the list goes. You and I probably can think of thousands of opportunities that you and I have missed out on. Today, Luke has something that he shares with us that we don't want to miss out on. It's perhaps the most important event that can change our lives if we choose to accept the gift that is being offered to each of us. And it's something we don't want to put on the back burner and forget about. It's something that we don't want to procrastinate and put it off until the 11th hour. Will you look with me to Luke? We read it a little bit earlier, but I want us to look at it again. If you'll open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 12. If you're using the Blue Pew Bible, it's on page 832. So Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Give it a second while everybody finds it. So Luke chapter 2, starting verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Let's just take a moment to pray once again. Father, we come to you because we are so needy, even as Barb was sharing and praying. And we need to hear from you today, Lord. Not from Pastor Doug. We need to hear from you. We need a touch from you. We need you to just work in our lives, encourage us, strengthen us, give us hope. And I pray, Father, as we look at this message that's in Luke that we read each year, we won't go away unchanged, but we will allow it to change our lives today. So thank you for all you do and all you continue to do for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in this piece of history that Luke tells us there was an announcement. The announcement from God was very important. So what does God do? He sends an angel. How would you react if an angel appeared before you all of a sudden? Well, I think I would be acting in one of fear. And I think the angel knew that. That's why the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Knowing that the reaction he most likely would get would be one of fear. The angel's word was an unusual greeting that he gave to men when he appeared as an unexpected appearance, and because everybody would be terrified of him. God knows how to get our attention. This was important news. This news was unexpected to the shepherds, even though Israel was waiting for God to send a ruler to defeat the Romans. Someone to free them and make them a great nation. So children, youth, if your parents call you out of your bedroom and say, "Come out here and sit on the sofa, we're going to have a family meeting." You know this is an announcement, right? This is an important meeting, right, that's going to happen right now. I heard Colby laugh. It's something that's important. But you also can tell by your parents' expression They're excited. They have something exciting to share just by what they're saying. And when they share it, you say, what? They got your attention just as God did. God knew sending an angel would get their attention. Angels were created by God, and they are ones who remain faithful to God. Their character is reflected in names such as heavenly beings and holy ones. Now, this is very different from fallen angels, demons, who are evil and follow Satan and rebelled against God. God doesn't just send one angel, these heavenly beings, but God sent a vast host, the Bible tells us, of others. The armies of heaven showed up. There were probably thousands upon thousands of angels that appeared. Now, if that didn't get your attention, I don't know if anything would. Can you imagine if you look up into the sky and you're out taking care of your sheep and thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 angels appear before you? Not only do they appear before you, but you hear this loud praise and giving glory to God, the God of the universe, the God who you follow, love, and worship. God would have gotten my attention, and he probably would have gotten yours as well. This is important news for each of us. This news is something we don't want to miss out on. We are told that the announcement is for all people. That includes each one of us. Not one of us is left out. In the book of John, he tells us, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the important news. News that is for all men, for all mankind. Now, who did God make this announcement to? Let's go back and look. Look at verse 8 with me. "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them." We see God chose to make the announcement to shepherds. Not political leaders and religious leaders, but to shepherds. He chose these shepherds who were on a hill nearby in Bethlehem, which was very common to find them there because the sheep that they were tending were used for sacrifices that people had to do according to the law throughout the year. The law given by God that was divine instruction to show Israel how to live their lives in a covenant relationship with God. These were specific revelations or commands of God. Paul uses the word law to mean a way of earning favor with God. The shepherds were watching and guarding their sheep at night to protect them from wandering off and from any predators that would come to kill them or a thief who would come and steal them. Shepherds, who are considered to be a humble group of people, are who God chose to make this announcement. Shepherds were a group of people who cared for their sheep in the rain, in the sun, the hot sun, in the wind, and they found places for them to graze and for water to drink to survive. The shepherd would risk his life to kill off the lion or the bear that might come. Now, you know a shepherd, probably. His name was David. David was a shepherd. He tended his father's flock of sheep in the nearby town of Bethlehem. When a lion or a bear, the Bible tells us, came and took a sheep from the flock, David went out after it, and he attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And I like this. When it rose up against him, he grabbed it by its mane. Can you imagine a man grabbing the bear or a lion by its mane? And he struck it and killed it. David killed both lions and bears. The shepherd watches over his flock, gathered his lambs into his arms, and just get this picture, and he carries them close to his heart. The shepherd's voice is recognized by his sheep who listen to him. The shepherd leads his sheep, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Sheep, which is interesting as I studied about shepherds and sheep, they never follow a stranger. But they turn away from them, the stranger. The shepherd protects them, giving them life. The shepherd has the good of the sheep at heart. A shepherd places him between himself, between the sheep and the deadly danger. So this is the group of people, shepherds, who God decided to make an announcement that would be for the whole world, for you and for me. Now, what was this very, very important news? Well, look with me again to verse 10. But the angel reassured him, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." The announcement has three parts to it. The first part is that the good news that will bring each of us great joy for all people. There are very few things in life that give us joy, and especially that give us great joy. You know, sooner or later, we either tire of it, it breaks, or the newness is gone, and it's not special, and it doesn't have that joy that it originally gave us. You know, but God is offering us good news that does not grow old. It does not last only a certain shelf life, and then it's out of date. It is not something that depends on how we feel, or how we handle it, or how we use it. The offer that is before us goes on for an eternity. Now, it costs us nothing, but cost God everything. It cost him a sacrifice that is so great, but has an eternal impact on each of us who accept this gift. It is a gift that we can't buy, a gift that we don't deserve, a gift we can't even earn. It's a gift that is so precious, so priceless, that only God could give it to each of us. But as with any gift, we have to accept it. We have to receive it. So we have two choices. It's to either accept the gift or reject it. There's no middle of the road. There's not one foot on this side of the fence and the other foot on this side of the fence. We have to make a choice. A choice that impacts our lives. All that we are, our soul, for all eternity. The gift is sometimes what we don't even know we need. We don't realize we need this, and this is what we've been looking for. Sometimes we continue to try to fill that void that's in our lives with other things. To accept this gift, we have to admit we have sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory. We aren't perfect. We aren't good. We have to admit that. We have to humble ourselves and admit that our lives are not worthwhile without the gift that God is offering to each of us. So what is this gift, you may be asking? Well, this brings us to the second announcement that the angel says. The angel says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The angel gave three titles to the baby, who is Jesus. They are Savior, Messiah, which means the anointed one, Christ, and Lord, Yahweh or God. The baby Jesus was both God and man. Israel's Messiah, her anointed and appointed king, had finally come. So for us to understand these titles given to the baby Jesus, let's look at each one of them. Savior, the one who delivers another from some spiritual difficulty, a danger, and a situation that one might be in. Whether we know it or not, we need saved from all the consequences of our sin. Jesus' saving act, his death and resurrection, that is to come in the later in his life, rescues all who believe in him alone. As Paul says, it's for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Jesus became the Savior of the world. He reconciled us unto God. He removed the sin that separates us from God. The relationship between us and God has been restored when we believe through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus does this all on the cross through his sacrifice. He was offered as the sacrificial lamb, like those cared for by the shepherds. The second title given to the baby Jesus was Messiah, which means the anointed one. This title was associated with the Old Testament prophet's vision of a ruler from David's family line who would lead Israel to greatness. If you didn't know it, both Joseph, Jesus' earthly heavenly father, and Mary, Jesus' mother, come from the line of David. The Greek word for anointed one is Christos, gave the title Christ. That is, the New Testament gives the name to Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus would acknowledge the title of Christ when his disciples used it, but he didn't make a public announcement of his messiahship. Now, this is all because of mixed conceptions of people regarding the role of the anointed one, who was to conquer the Romans for the Israelites. However, after Jesus' resurrection, Christians increasingly gave Jesus the title of Christ, using it as his personal name and associating with the salvation that Jesus won for all mankind through his death. Jesus has purchased each of our salvation through his death and resurrection when we, by faith, believe in him. The third title given to the baby Jesus by the angel is Lord. That is the English word for Yahweh, or would mean God. The divine name is formed from four consonants in Hebrew, YHWH. Now, the pronunciation is uncertain. The name was considered so sacred that the Jewish people wouldn't even speak it. Now, instead of saying Yahweh or the YHWH, they would say Adonai. And the O and the A that are the vowels of that name were added to YHWY in the 12th century, Yahweh. The God who identified himself to Moses at the burning bush as I am. God added that this is his name forever, the name that I am to be remembered from generation to generation. This all meaning one who is always present. From that time on, God's people were identifying him by this name that affirmed his living presence among them from each generation of his people to the name that calls each generation to renew their faith with God, his redemptive power, faith in how God acted to save each of us through his son Jesus, the act of saving us from our sins. John tells us more about who this Christ Jesus is. Now, keep your finger in the Luke there, but could you turn to John, the chapter 1? I want us to look at the first five verses. So it's just about, 20 pages or beyond. John chapter 1. And if you're using the Blue Pew Bible, it's page 860. John says, and this is about Jesus, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And John goes on to say later that we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. Now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one and only true God, and he is eternal life. Paul sums this up for us. He says, everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. This Savior, Christ Jesus, the Adonai, Lord, has been born, the angel told them. For you, He has been born for each of us. The Savior of the world has come for all mankind. This is the gift of God that is being offered to each of us, that the angel is making the announcement that brings us great joy. The shepherds were told how they would recognize him. Look at what the angel said to the shepherds. Look at verses 11 and 12. The Savior, yes, the Messiah Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. To confirm the angel's words, he told the shepherds where they would find the child, Jesus, the baby who is the infant king. But you would not find him in a palace, but you would find him lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Now, shepherds, they're responsible for newborn lambs, making sure they have no defects or imperfections, because these lambs were used for sacrificial animals, and they had to be without spots or wrinkles. So the shepherds would tightly wrap the lambs in cloth to keep them from becoming blemished and injuring themselves. Luke makes a point that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice without sin or imperfections, was wrapped tightly in cloth. He was the sinless Lamb of God, whose substitutionary sacrifice would take away the sin of the world, the whole entire world. The shepherds would understand this because of the practice that they were doing with the lambs. Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to take our place for our sins. John says, we are utterly helpless. Christ came at just the right time and died for our sins. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. The promise that Pastor Dave has preached about the last 3 weeks has come, the birth of Jesus. The shepherds didn't miss out. See how they responded after they were told this great news from the angel. Look with me to verses 15 to 20. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I like what Luke says. They hurried to the village. Notice they just didn't keep watching their sheep. They didn't put it off or come up with some excuses why they were not going to Bethlehem to see this baby. They could have thought of many reasons. One being their sheep and their duties, and possibly because of their family and livelihood. Another good example of how people responded after hearing from God would be the men who Jesus called to be his disciples. You can read this in detail in Luke 5. But there were these men. They were fishermen. They had spent all night fishing, and they came up with nothing. And there was Jesus on the shore. He says, let's put out to the deep and put down your nets. Simon Peter says, but Lord, we just fished all night and didn't catch a single thing. But Simon and his buddies in the other boat, they throw down their nets. Well, you know what Jesus does. He does a miracle. They caught so many fish in this nets, yet Peter, who was later known as Peter, called over his buddies and helped to drag up all these fish. The two boats were so full that they began to sink. They were amazed at what Jesus had done. They got to shore. Now, okay, what do you think they're going to do when they get to shore? Sell their fish, right? No. They don't. They drop everything and they follow Jesus. Jesus said that he was going to make them fishers of men. Now, they could have came up with many excuses. Number one, selling all those fish. That was their livelihood. That's how they got their money to survive, to feed their family, to take care of them. They could have said, well, I got to go do this. I got to do that. But they didn't. They just dropped everything and followed Jesus. So for each of us today, we can't miss out on the real meaning of Christmas, the birth of the Savior, our Messiah, the Anointed One, Christ, the Lord, the God of the universe, who has come and lives among us. This is who Isaiah prophesied about when he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Don't miss out on the greatest gift ever given by God, who loves each one of us. A God who loves us as we are, sinful, imperfect, unworthy, but through grace, through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, as the perfect Lamb of God, taking our place, removing the barrier that is between us and God, redeeming us who were lost for an eternity, justifying us through his amazing grace as if we never sinned, made righteous through him, reconciled unto God for an eternity, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the one who gives us great joy that never ends. He gives us hope for now and for our future and for things to come in this fallen and broken world. Throughout life, we can have hope no matter what comes our way. He is our strength to go through these hard things that we have to endure. And he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. He never lets us down. He's always present, always there for us. All that should give us this hope and great joy that the angel was talking about. So don't miss out. The promise has come, Christ Jesus, for you and for me. If you have never received the gift of grace through faith in Jesus Christ that we've been talking about this morning, if this is all new to you, please talk to one of us, one of our elders, Pastor Dave or myself. We'd love to talk to you more about that, to how have a personal relationship with God, who was and is to come for an eternity that never ends. A God who loves you and me very, very much. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us and sending your son Jesus. The birth of our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this room that does not have a personal relationship with you, that they would realize that they need to take that step. Lord, we thank you that you never give up on us. We thank you that you give us hope. Life is so hard at times, Lord, but we have hope and we have joy that never ends. The enemy would love to make us fearful and afraid and sorrowful and sad, but it's not about feelings. It's about joy that we have in our lives because of you, Lord Jesus. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we just want to continue to worship you for who you are and for all you've done in our lives and for what you offer to each one of us. The God of the universe came as a baby because we were lost. And Lord, we were lost, so lost that we could not do anything about it. But you provided salvation through your sacrifice, your death on the cross. And you give us hope because of your resurrection, the hope that we have to go on each day. We worship you today for who you are What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with us as we continue in worship, singing about this wonderful name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.